Welcome, Pinto and Sean Bean patrons. Welcome to Extra Beans.
Welcome to the last Extra Beans of 2023. The dying embers of a wonderful year. Oh, we look back at some of our highlights and lowlights, and all the people we met along the way. And who can forget young Henry Packer and young Michael Wozniak? And here they are.
Hello. Truly, it's been a splendid year.
Very good morning or evening or night or afternoon. Hello.
A year for the ages. It really takes its place alongside all the other years. Snugly and not feeling out of place at all.
Mm-hmm. Included some really terrible events.
It's been a harrowing year. But we've kept the banter flames of burning and the banter flag of flying, haven't we?
We've kept the banter bath lukewarm all the way through.
And thank you for being there with us every step of the way.
Like a trusted friend. That sense of safety that you can only get from Three Bean Salad and, of course, Omnibank. Knowing that your funds are in safe hands.
Not your hands.
Not your hands, no. But safe hands. Money, like water, if it remains stable, it becomes stagnant. We keep your money moving.
You may not be able to afford to go on holiday this year, but your money's been all over the world, to various jurisdictions. How will you remember 2023, Henry?
I'll remember it as the year when we really hit, I think, our closest true lukewarm in banter terms.
Oh, yeah, really?
Closest we've got. I think we get closer every year. Now, people maybe don't realise this, that to get, it's the same as running a bath. To make banter lukewarm, you have to have a hot and cold, don't you? Mm. Two opposite forces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hot banter and cold banter. And I think, you know, we've done some smoking hot banter. Mm-hmm.
And we've done some more disappointing.
And we've iced it out, yeah.
And some really chilly banter. But I think if you put it together and average it out, it comes out as the exact temperature of the inside of a Hyundai i10, isn't it?
Yeah, that someone slept in overnight. Our first episode was about assassinations, and here's some extra stuff from that episode.
Okay, here's a question.
Yeah.
Mike, how would you approach playing the role of an assassin?
Ah.
Because I think Mike would be pretty good.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, I mean, I haven't been formally trained at a drama school, as you know.
Unlike me?
Yeah. Unlike you at the... Well, Anna Schul?
At the Anna Schur.
Anna Schur School.
Yeah. So, Mike, you're self-taught, aren't you?
Self-taught, and I view myself very much an apprentice of life.
That is, isn't it? That's how you describe yourself.
So in the past, the way I've approached roles is that I sometimes put on an accent or a funny voice.
That's
until
right.
Someone tells me not to do that.
Yep.
And then I speak in my normal voice.
Yep.
And I say things a bit like how I would say them normally.
Yes.
Mm. And you often read out the words on the script, don't you, Mike?
I do read them exactly. I memorize them.
Yeah.
The order that they go in, and I say those words. And if someone suggests I should say some of them standing over there, I stand over there. That is my approach.
It's all over my head, this stuff. I don't understand
sorry,
any
of it. I might have laid the jargon on a bit thick with that.
It's just wonderful to hear you talk about it. Yeah, because I obviously to us, I mean, I just had no idea how that would work.
Because there's elements of Mamet and Stanislavski. There's all kinds of things in the pot going in there.
Yeah.
You know, I own an awful lot of books about acting. Certainly.
That's right. Yeah.
And I will display them in the house in a way that suggests that I might even have read them.
Rutger Hauer, you like to mention, don't you?
Rutger Hauer is that,
you'll just say, you'll be in a conversation, you'll mention Rutger Hauer.
Clemens.
Rutger Hauer is usually my jumping off point.
Yeah.
I use, Clemens hoop after that, a flaming Clemens hoop, mentally speaking.
Is that a technique, the Clemens hoop?
The Clemens hoop, you jump off a sort of Rutger Hauer springboard.
Okay.
Okay, that's where you should start with any role. Through the Clemens hoop.
This is physical, isn't it? None of this is psychological. This is a little...
Oh, no, I couldn't do that mentally. I don't have the imagination.
Yeah.
And then I get desinged and hose down and flea powdered, and then I do what I said before. I just learn the lines and say the lines
as much as possible in the right order.
So I think for an assassin, it would probably be a similar approach. I would imagine.
Would there be a narrowing of the eyes occasionally? Close up shot narrowing of the eyes.
That would have to be done in post, I think, with Mike, wouldn't it?
I think so. Yeah, my eyes are quite narrow anyway, to be honest. They're not. I don't have big old peepers by any stretch.
From a Photoshop point of view, it would be quite easy. You would simply you'd take Mike's face.
Yeah, you just bring the face closer, don't you? You leave the eyes where they are, perspective-wise, and you bring the rest of the face
bring everything
closer.
Else. Yeah. So you get what's known as the crunch effect. So it looks like your head's crunching every time you narrow your eyes.
Yeah.
But actually, that can make you seem more menacing.
Exactly.
And the same goes for blinking, isn't it? Because you're not comfortable blinking on camera, are you?
Don't like it.
So that, again, that has to be done
Find
in post.
Find it embarrassing. Start blushing. Start sweating.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I prefer to save my blinks for my own time. Do my blinking in my own time.
Yeah.
Or in the Winnebago, obviously.
So it's digitally, it's quite easy. Essentially, you just create a grid over Mike's face and then...
Which is a grid in and of itself has got easy grid points to map onto.
You've got genetic grid points that are very, very even.
If you did mocap, you wouldn't even have to put the balls on, would you, Mike?
No.
I'm covered in small, hairy balls as it is. Yeah.
I think we can talk about this. You've got your entire skeletal frame is covered at regular intervals with knuckles, isn't it?
It is. Fuzzy yellow knuckles.
You've got fuzzy yellow knuckles all over you. So, in a way, you're the perfect actor, aren't you?
That I'm told will never decompose.
No, those will be there.
Yeah.
Long after humanity itself is extinguished. They'll be the play baubles of the rats.
Or the crabs.
Or the crabs.
Whoever's there.
They'll be the same thing by then.
Yeah.
That's true. So, it's a moot point.
Krats.
I will throw your body to the crats.
I think Mike would be good as an assassin because he'd look very good in a black polo neck.
Yeah, we've established that, I think.
Have we?
I think I've seen him in a black polo neck is what I'm getting at.
Okay, yeah, Mike would look good in a black polo neck.
It's possible, yeah.
He'd look good in a black beanie.
Yeah.
He'd look good carrying a black briefcase.
Yeah, I think I could very smoothly tear off a false moustache to reveal the real moustache underneath.
The real moustache underneath.
Exiting a major transport hub or something like that.
See that man with the big kind of glossy blonde moustache. He looks fairly harmless. Let him in. Sorry, as soon as I saw the blonde moustache, I just assumed he was harmless and I allowed him to... I guess I gave him access to the balcony above the president, yes. But his moustache was so blonde and glossy.
Yes, there were handles on one end of the moustache so he could quickly tear it off in one sweeping movement. Yes, I thought that was strange.
Yes, it had a tiny little fire extinguisher at one end. I mean, it's health and safety gone mad, isn't it? But... That's what happens with artificial moustaches.
What would you say are the big assassinations? So the big one, obviously, is JFK.
Abe.
JFK, Abe. Yeah. John Wilkes Booth, which one is he?
Oh, that's Abe, isn't it?
I'm going to take this back further. We should start back at Caesar.
Oh, okay.
Classic metropolitan elite. Classic metropolitan.
Bring it back to the classics.
Bring it back to the classics, which I live and breathe.
I'm going to try and think of one previous to Caesar now, but I'm struggling. Socrates. No, he was made to drink hemlock, but I can't remember why.
But what makes something an assassination and not a murder is a question, isn't it? I think you need to have political office, don't you?
Do you have to be paid to do an assassination? In which case, Caesar wouldn't have been.
I don't think so. I think you could do a pro bono volunteer sort of freedom fighter assassination.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Potentially.
Well, I think, you know, Caesar was the old... Everyone stabbed him in the back, didn't they? Is that right?
Yeah.
Is it?
Everyone had a go.
Even bloody Brutus, famously.
I thought it was Brutus. I don't know much about this.
No, it was, I think loads of people did it.
Yeah. They sort of pin-cushioned him.
It was basically the murder on the Orient Express, spoiler alert.
Yeah, shared responsibility.
It was everyone has a pop.
Well, who did the original assassins assassinate? Like as in the hash guys.
The what?
From where the word comes from. Yeah. The sort of hash-taking...
Hash. I'm so confused.
Of,
the origin of the word assassin is to do with hashish. Something to do with
hashish taking a bunch of crazy killers.
I mean, we've all had a few too many doobies and
and off to a sovereign.
Sure. Yeah, that's true, Ben.
Ah, okay. I think it's Middle Eastern somewhere. Shall I look it up?
Yeah, do it.
Is that cheating?
No, it's not about knowledge, is it?
It might be Persia.
Of course, that's where the Assassin's Creed. Computer game is set, isn't it?
Oh, yes. An order that existed between 1090 and 1275 AD in the mountains of Persia and the Levant. There we go.
Yeah, well, they would get stoned and then go and assassinate someone.
I guess so.
Which to me suggests, yeah, that's not very good gear. That might be cut with something, mate.
So why did they do Caesar? Caesar was too big for his boots.
He was too big for his sandals. He wanted to become
a very god.
It is one of those ones where it's so iconic, you think, what actually did... And it's the kind of thing that features on In Our Time with Melvin Bragg, isn't it? And they'll talk about it, and it's a great story, but then someone will go, but of course, we think it's probably all not true.
We think he probably actually tripped over a tortoise and then...
and fell and landed on another tortoise. And the tortoise is, obviously territorial. One of the tortoises would assume that Caesar was trying to mate with his partner / invade his territory, and then it would have been tortoise, just a standard tortoise killing where the tortoise climbs through your mouth and sort of...
self-detonates.
Barges through your internal organs and self-detonates.
So they didn't like him because he was getting a bit sort of bolshy.
He was getting bolshy, yeah. He was getting arrogant.
And then when he says "et tu, Brutus," that's him saying, "You as well, my good friend."
Yeah,
right. I see. And Brutus was his mate, right?
Or so he thought.
Ben, it would be like if you were to be stabbed to death by all the people you've pissed off in showbiz.
Wow, that would take a long time.
Obviously, it's going to take a long. It's going to be a hell of a long stabbing.
You're not going to have any back left, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to be drawing straws for a bit of back.
They'll be drawing straws for getting a bit of backspace. No, I think they'll have to make the whole thing a lottery, actually, which I think is the fairest way to do it. Because everyone wants a piece of this guy. Let's make it a lottery. The fact that someone like David Beckham just joins the lottery and doesn't get special treatment will actually reflect well on him. Won't it?
He's in the queue like everyone else.
He's in the queue like everyone else. Obviously, Holly Willoughby's trying to get to the front, but no, I think...
Because you've got a queue to get to the lottery in the first place.
You've got a queue to get to the lottery. And actually, the atmosphere in the queue will be really quite lovely.
Yeah. National occasion.
It'll be cream cakes.
The camaraderie.
We're all, finally, everyone in this nation can agree on something.
Yeah.
Which is Benjamin has to be taken down. And taken down hard. Principally for his attitude to that woman years ago in that radio quiz show. I think that's...
What? So what?
It's coming out, Ben. No, that was where Benjamin was conceived, wasn't it? It was when you won a general knowledge quiz on the radio against a woman by using a slightly small-minded tactic.
I'm not sure it was a woman. I think it was a child, wasn't it? It was a fellow child.
Oh, yeah, sorry, it was a contemporary. Just a child.
Yeah.
Oh, it was a contemporary. You were a child as well, were you?
Yes.
Okay, sorry.
And it was nothing to do with my attitude towards her. I just wanted to win, so I did what I had to do to win. That's different.
This is exactly why you need to be taken down. And why Derek Jacobi is going to be there, and so is...
Gary Lineker.
Pat Sharp, Pat Cash, Lineker, Stephen Sondheim.
Stephen Sondheim's dead, but will be...
the estate of Stephen Sondheim will provide someone. Gary Kasparov's going to be there. Ray Parler, Peter Serafinovich, Pete Pothelswaite's estate will supply someone.
That's being managed by Chris Packham at the moment, I think.
Being managed by Packham, Roger Federer, Paul Dacre, Timothy Spall.
Nicole Kidman, excitingly.
Nicole Kidman.
Alan Bennett's going to get a piece.
Sebastian Faulks.
And Sebastian Coe.
Lem Cisse.
Angela Merkel.
Claire Rayner. Angela Rayner.
And coming up with a finishing size, Hilary Mantel.
She's also dead.
The estate of. All the Susans. Pollard. Sarandon. Sontag. and different football clubs as well.
So, yeah, a representative from Reading FC.
Yeah.
From Cheltenham FC.
Yeah. Luton Town. Wickham Wanderers.
Ranville's Rangers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And obviously there'll be a chance to get a selfie before the stabbing.
Yeah, I've got in contact with Alton Towers, and basically hiring, it's the camera system from one of the rides.
Yeah.
So normally it would obviously take the photo as you were going down the big bit of the
as you're getting sploosh on the big flume. Yeah.
So they're going to have that. There'll be two photos, one when they just walk in and one when they're actually plunging the knife in. And at the end, they can choose. It's $15.99 to get it printed up.
Yeah.
Different sizes are available.
It's a lot of money, isn't it? But it's one of those, you just can't resist it when you're there. Do you know
it's
what I mean?
Once in a lifetime or once in a death time.
Lovely.
That'll be the ad.
That's the slogan, isn't it?
Yeah. Also, look at your face when you were stabbing Benjamin in the back. It'd be quite funny to get the photo as you're doing it.
Yeah.
Oh, look at you.
And I'm being kept alive by a sort of adrenaline dialysis machine, which is just keeping me keeping me going through all of these puncture wounds.
The entire cast of Shrek the Musical.
Oh, God. Are they in their costumes?
In costume, yeah. Well, they've hardly got time to squeeze it in between the matinee and the evening show. Yeah. So they haven't got time to get out of the costumes.
Even the understudies are getting involved.
The show's actually going on stage while Shrek himself is stabbing you. They've had to... He whizzes off during the scene where the donkey has a flashback.
It's very hard to do on stage.
They've introduced a donkey flashback sequence, which takes 25 minutes. So that Shrek can get...
Like the origin story of the donkey character.
The origin story of the donkey character. Which is how the donkey developed Eddie Murphy's voice, which is a hell of a story. Involves a lot of witchcraft, pan-dimensional travel.
And a taste for 80s stand-up.
But so they can get from the Garrick to... This is all going to be happening on in the... I don't know if anyone's been there. The Chinese restaurant in the canal near Primrose Hill. Mm. Isn't it? That's what you requested, that, Ben.
The floating one.
The floating one, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
You okay with that?
They will sink it at the end.
Well, it's a Chinese Viking funeral, isn't it? Ben's been allowed. His one request was...
It's a fusion funeral.
It's a fusion. So it's a Chinese... So the nearest thing we could get to, which is had to essentially, for the wake, crispy duck for everyone, but it had to be, we could set fire to it and sink it like a Viking funeral.
And you can stay on the boat and be sunk with it if you want, or
you can.
Oh, yeah. If you want to pay homage, if you want to pay the greatest homage, you can.
Yeah. Because I think Ray Parler's doing that, isn't he?
Yeah, Ray Parler wants to go down with the ship. He's requested.
I think Taylor Swift's firing the arrow.
That's right.
It's the latest I've heard.
She's incorporating that into the Eras tour.
She'll be firing it from Tottenham Stadium, is that right?
That's right, yeah. So it's actually segued really nicely with Taylor's people. A lot of conversations had to happen. Really hard to make it segue up, which is why the whole thing actually was going to happen, wasn't it, Ben? 2 years ago. So you've actually had two years' grace, haven't you? Because it was trying to get it to match up with Taylor's schedule.
And also the Super Bowl schedule, because obviously there's going to be a memorial American football match that's going to be taking place at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
Between the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And the Benjamin Bastards.
The Benjamin Bastards, which is a kind of all-stars team.
Yeah. So it's got everyone. It's got, hasn't it? It's got all the big stars.
Roger Black.
big.
Big
Timothy.
Basketball star.
From Basketball Baltimore. The big basketball. The Cincinnati Green Jumpers. They'll be there. Yeah. Oh, it's been quite an occasion. But the point I'm making, Ben, is that it would be like that in the Brutus moment. Like everything we just described, but if you turn round and you're like...
You as well, Tim Henman.
Exactly. A2, Tim.
Just to remind foreign listeners, Tim Henman was a middling...
No, was a British tennis superstar who won Wimbledon 7 times in a row. From 1995 to 2002, he won Wimbledon every time.
He was the Andy Murray prototype.
Yeah.
When they hadn't got Andy Murray quite right, they called him Tim Henman.
That's right. It was a beta phase Andy Murray.
Yeah.
A few things they got wrong. They had the...
He had two left arms, didn't he, for starters?
Yeah. If you go back and look at the footage, he clearly had two left arms the whole time. He would try and distract the eye by eating a banana constantly. Because banana, of course, is the only food which has drapes, which cover the main knuckle formation and hand structure. So when someone's eating a banana, you've got no idea what hand they're using. It's the same reason that bananas...
Well, it's the same reason that Tim Henman eats an orange by plunging his hand into the skin itself and just sort of holding it there for a while, sucking out the juice off his wrist.
He would often also plunge his entire fist into the middle of a roast chicken and then eat that. Rotating it.
Well, in a way, it's hiding in plain sight, isn't it? Because you're thinking about Tim Henman's hand, but the last thing is on your mind is whether it's a left or a right one.
Oh, yeah.
It's why it's encased in meat.
Yeah.
/ orange.
You're wondering, is that going to help him with his backhand if he's got a goose on his right? fist.
And it turns out it didn't, did it?
Turns out it didn't.
Not one iota.
And of course, Greg Rozetsky at the time had two right arms. So they, you know, they, yeah. it was obvious what went wrong in the factory. Yeah.
Shame, isn't it? They didn't get the viciously ambitious mother. They didn't get quite right with Tim, did they? When creating the tennis superstar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tennis superstar needs a familiar of some sort, that's an over-involved parent or a coach.
Well, Tim Henman's familiar was Lucy Henman.
It was a spouse, wasn't it? Spouse is never quite the right relationship. Needs to be a coach or a parent, probably.
Yeah, she would never scream at him. She was always just sort of smiling politely. It was not right. You need
there
wasn't
someone. There was an air of jeopardy. Yeah. It was just support.
Yeah. You need daggers.
Whereas Henman, they got it just right. They had sibling rivalry in the mix.
With Murray, you mean?
Sorry, with Murray, they had it right. They had sibling rivalry, viciously ambitious mother, who turns out on I'm a Celebrity to actually be a bit of a sweetheart.
Oh, she's cherished. She's a national treasure in her own right now.
Madre de Murray.
Yeah. She's the only person who could fill the space the Queen left, I think.
Liz Truss tried.
She tried, and it was catastrophic. King Chucky's still having a pop, isn't he? King Chucky 3.
It's hard to get a read on what people make of King Chucky 3, I think. There's no sense in the country about what people think of him, I think, yet. He's just very new. Like, people are just like, yeah, fine.
Yeah. If he was assassinated, the reaction would be of utter bafflement. Wouldn't it?
Why have you bothered?
What?
King Charles?
A hell of a lot of work for... Why?
What?
Yeah.
Are you sure it wasn't Charlie Borman? That would make sense. Or at least have an impact.
Or Chaz from Chaz and Dave.
Also already dead.
but still has actually more political heft than Prince Charles, technically. Because at least his estate does control the rights to Snookaloopy Nuts a Wee. Which, you know, gives you some leverage, doesn't it?
Certainly internationally, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're right, Mike. I think if King Charles was assassinated, the response would be bafflement.
You'd assume maybe that fake news had already reached its zenith much earlier than it. You wouldn't believe it, would you?
Of course, the next question would be, who did it?
And all eyes would turn to Meghan Markle.
So again, for anyone that doesn't know, Meghan Markle is a sort of...
She's part of the British royal family.
She's a viper in the salad. She's snake in the souffle.
Henry very much adopting the
the tabloid line.
An entirely malevolent force.
Tabloid / Windsor Castle line.
She's a cobra in the yogurt.
She's bent on bringing down the British monarchy and the entire British, bringing down the country, isn't it? That was her aim. But the crab in the quiche, luckily, was excised.
I mean, the crab in the quiche, could just be a nice crab quiche.
Well, that's another way of looking at it, isn't it? And that's the other view, which is actually
it's
quite a nice crab quiche. The previous quiche was quite boring. It was a bacon and mushroom quiche.
And actually, she was sort of telling the quiche some home truths that really needed to hear.
Yeah.
You know Prince Harry?
Yeah.
He's kind of done his thing now, right? He's written his book. He's done his documentary.
He's referred to his own penis.
He's referred to his own penis
many, many times in print.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, of course, up until now, the British population, it was quite an important part of keeping the country together, was that none of us were entirely sure if members of the royal family had penises. They've never been depicted in art. They've never been referred to by a monarch, have they? Until...
Yes. We assumed they were like those sort of overly bred... sort of dog breeds that need veterinary assistance in order to conceive.
From the Archbishop of Canterbury.
Yeah, with a series of holy pipettes.
Excruciatingly painful, sort of bulbous brass holy pipettes, yeah.
Made for Edward the Confessor. But, like, so he's kind of done what he can do now. So I think he's got a long life to live. He's in America.
Yeah.
He's sort of shot his bolt. You know, he's done his book. He's done his tell-all interview and stuff.
Yeah.
I've got to say, I like, he seems nice. I like him.
Yeah.
But
can I say, all of this is, unless he's got a second penis. That's the only
okay.
which he could subsequently do another book about.
That's a whole second book. Yeah.
And where is that in terms of in line to the throne? That second penis might be. You know,
well, exactly. Because if he could genetically
leapfrog William, couldn't it?
Yeah.
If he could prove that vestigial penis is a genetic defect that goes back to using DNA testing goes back to Edward the Confessor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Confessor. Then
that could be our next monarch.
And if cameras are allowed in court by then. Bloody strap in, because that's going to be a hell of a show.
Just to explain to listeners, if they don't know this, it's Prince Harry wrote a bit in his book about how his penis was going to drop off because he got really cold. Is that right? In the Arctic?
Is that right?
Yeah, and then he put some cream on it that his mum used to use on her face.
Deep heat?
So as in like from a jar, not as in stuff he had sourced from her face and stored for later.
Yeah. No. Yeah. It was the same brand of moisturizer she used to use, okay. And he put it on his member, and it brought back memories. Anyway.
Yeah, you're right, yeah.
What I was getting at is I think within 5 years, we will see an ill-conceived sitcom starring Prince Harry.
What a great prediction.
As himself.
As himself, and then maybe also doing the voice of his second vestigial penis as well. Or maybe we give that to Bill Murray.
Great idea. American-based, sort of kind of like...
Yeah, studio audience.
78 episodes a year kind of thing.
Yeah,
studio audience. Oh, wow.
Yeah. Prince in America.
In the neighborhood.
Because what else has he got to do?
Well, they've done a podcast, haven't they?
Yeah, they did a very unsuccessful podcast. I mean, more successful than our podcast, but...
Yeah.
We weren't given $1 million by Spotify.
In a way, they had the dream podcast, or the dream in any line of work, which is you get paid several million pounds and fired in the same moment.
That's what we're all seeking.
It's what we all want.
That's what we're all seeking.
It literally doesn't get better than that. Whereas, of course, William, his brother... Mm-hmm. Must lived betwixt the bars of the gilded cage. Mustn't he?
Yes.
What would you rather have?
What am I choosing between?
Well, Prince William's life or Prince Harry's life?
Oh, it's obviously Prince Harry's life, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it's got to be, hasn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the gilded cage is no fun.
I think he's probably is having fun, but when becoming king is a nightmare. That's the nightmare.
Yeah.
So if that could happen when I'm 89 and then I die the following year, that would be okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think being a prince would be nice.
Yeah.
But once the limelight's firmly on you as king, that's awful.
Essentially, William has the life of service, and Harry has the sort of life of a freedom, follow his own destiny, follow his own desires.
Yeah.
So they're really like opposites, aren't they? And following your own desires, Ben, you're suggesting inevitably leads to starring in one's own sitcom. Now, we did an episode about cruises as well.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the episode about cruises, we actually didn't talk about cruises for all the stuff we said about cruises within the main app. But we stayed very on topic.
We've done that a couple of times in this season so far.
Yeah, we stuck to topic. Yeah. But what we did leave out from the episode was a hefty chunk about... Ben's digestive health and my experiences with a charismatic masseur.
That's tantalizing, isn't it?
Yeah. Enjoy.
I would like to add a step to the official three bean salad day starting routine.
Oh, really?
Is it not working for you?
Well, no, it's really working for me. So, obviously... As it exists currently, there's one step, which was provided to us by Mr. Henry Packer, which is drink 2 pints of water.
Ah, okay. Yeah. Which I'm halfway through, by the way. I've got my second pint here. I've only had one so far today.
Yeah, I actually moderate it down to one myself. Simon, I'm a 1 pint first thing person. Almost first thing I do now.
Yeah, really? Yeah, good.
Yeah. You're not following this regime.
No, I refuse. I refuse to take any sort of health advice whatsoever. And that's all based on the fact that I once saw a documentary where there was a very old French lady who was 102 and smoked and drank all her life.
And said she'd never drank any water.
Yeah, exactly. She only ate liver.
Yeah.
She was fine.
She seemed absolutely fine. It turned out, of course, she wasn't 102. It was a typo. She was actually 12.
So hydration-wise, I think that's all sorted.
That's now, locked and loaded, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Although I do have some... I have an update on that, which I'll come back to you when you're finished.
No, I think give it to us now.
Well, I recently fell into the hands, literally, of a darkly charismatic, slightly off-grid health professional.
A sort of shaman?
Does it involve magics, or have you invested everything you own into Elizabeth Holmes's latest venture? What is it?
About 10 days ago, I needed a massage.
Mm-hmm. You wanted a massage.
Yeah, that's the correct sentence, isn't it?
I wanted a massage. The reason I wanted a massage is I'm currently playing five-a-side football.
Mm-hmm.
Decades past the safe.
The recommended age. Yeah.
The recommended age. decades. What this means is I, for about 55 minutes every Tuesday night, I run around the football pitch, having a lovely time, nutmegging people, scoring some great goals. It's a good fun game.
Although, and people wouldn't know you're 75, would they?
They wouldn't know. Although it's in the nature of my five-a-side game, which is... So this game has been going literally for... I think it's over 25 years. You stop counting after 25 years, you stop counting.
The game stops every week. It hasn't been going continuously for 25 years.
The game does stop.
Because I think you would need a massage occasionally, probably.
It's come to the point where it's safer now for a lot of these men to carry on. The body has reached a new equilibrium, which is five-a-side. That's what the body knows now. To stop, if any of these men in their mid-70s were to stop playing five-a-side, they're literally, their heads and arms just fly off in every direction. No, so the nature of my game, it's been going for over 25 years. We've all aged concurrently with each other, mm-hmm. the players of the game. So what that means is, from our point of view... Again, it's a bit like the slow boiling of the frog, which is a metaphor I reach for.
Which you reached for in a previous episode, so you say again.
I'm reaching for it more than once a day at the moment.
You're reaching quite a long way back, though. It's quite a weird...
What do you mean?
Well, you said, again, it's like the boiling of the frog, as if that's something you'd mentioned already today.
Mm. No, good point. Well, I think I might have done. I think I just use it a lot as a metaphor, even just... It just sort of applies for a lot of stuff. Anyway.
I think also if you're playing a constant five-a-side game for 25 years, time starts to take on a kind of different sort of texture, doesn't it?
Exactly, it does. Because we've all aged concurrently, it feels the same for us as it ever did. So if you imagine pitch cam, I am roving around the pitch. I'm nutmegging. People are going, whoa, how did he do that? Way, get the ball, quick. Pass it over here, Steve. Give it over to Joffrey. Give it to Prince Joffrey on the left.
Yeah, and your shorts are as complete as they were the day you bought them.
Exactly. 100%. Everything
not the threadbare rags.
Not moth-eaten. The shin pads are still intact. But no, but the pace of the game feels like it ever did. But, of course, we're now 25-plus years old, so... Do you see what I'm talking about?
Mm. Yeah.
But I think what it means is that what would happen is viewed, I think so, from inside the pitch, it's like Saving Private Ryan. But he's like, Jesus Christ, come on, give it the ball. Hey, watch it. Whoa, he's done that. What? Ah! It's really quick. It's intense.
But from outside, it looks more like loads of aging management executives doing a paintball weekend.
No, they're standing around waiting for the paintball instructor to come, to arrive. I literally think from afar, it's like 10 static sort of, 10 waxworks waiting to be sort of...
Melted down
or something. Yeah. But as you get closer, we start to move a bit. And then once you're on the pitch, so someone said this to me the other day on the pitch, or someone shouted this, I dribbled past someone, and he went, I can't, he's just too quick. He's too quick, I can't. Right? There's no way I'm not...
And if someone measured the speed of the ball, sort of less than 2 miles an hour.
It was less than
2 miles an hour. Slowly rolling.
Slowly. But I think it's similar to how time and space and light and stuff would operate on the surface of the planet Pluto
I think, based on a comic book I read years ago, which is that Pluto, I think it's Pluto. There is a planet called Pluto, isn't there?
Well, there actually isn't anymore, is there?
No, you're right. It doesn't sound like a real name for a planet.
Well, it was a planet. It's now called something like a dwarf asteroid or something.
It got downgraded, didn't it?
Yeah. No one talks about Pluto anymore, do they?
Yeah, because it got downgraded. It
got downgraded? It's
been removed from the conversation.
How fucked off must Pluto be? Mm-hmm. And the Plutonians? They're not even qualified as a planet anymore.
It might take the pressure off a bit.
That's true.
I don't know. But I mean, no one's safe from a fall from grace, are they, at the end of the day?
Yeah.
But if someone said, you know what, Earth isn't a planet, we could all just go, oh, God, chill out a bit.
Yeah. Just start enjoying things a bit more.
Yeah.
Anyway, on Pluto, I believe the gravity is so strong that gravity affects light. So light is affected by gravity because it is partly a particle as well as a wave in certain elements. Yeah.
Do email in.
Yeah. we're on very thin ice.
Yeah. Is this the classic bollocking decoy, though, that we've talked about in the past?
It could be. You could be laying some bollocking flak down.
Yeah, a bollocking honey trap.
Exactly. This could be the bollocking equivalent of some bracken.
Covered in bolognese.
Covered in bolognese. Mm. Laid over a big big ditch full of...
Bolognese.
There's more bolognese. Get in there. Have some fun. Chill out. Maybe it's not a planet. Maybe we just can swim in bolognese. Doesn't matter. We're just an asteroid. So you're right. The way we've been thinking about bolognese, maybe that can change. Maybe put that inside the pasta. That's already been done. Ravioli, fine. But so on Pluto, there's a brilliant comic book I read once where basically light travels so slowly because it's being bent by the gravity that if you saw a bunch of people like having a fight, because there's a war happening on Pluto in this comic book. And you have to go out wearing these like incredible out metal anti-gravity sort of robot suits. It's brilliant to fight the war in. So you see these people having a battle, but the light is so slow to get to you that if you're standing watching them, they're apparently static. And then as you approach them, they start to move as you get closer because the light is taking so long to reach you. So that's like us playing five a side. But basically, it's very poignant because...
It's very poignant.
It is poignant because there's a great bit in this comic book where someone has shot someone else and the bullet is travelling towards them and it's going to kill them. Yeah. And this guy sees it, but the bullet is stuck in stasis forever because of the gravity and the light. But only by walking towards it will the bullet actually move and it'll kill the other person. That's quite poignant.
Please rein the bollockings down, listener.
And so what happens is this person just ends up standing there forever, just sort of watching them. I don't know how he eats or I don't know.
Oh, God.
But that's a bit like my five-a-side game, which is if you just stand watching us from afar, it's just 10 static men. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's better. Just keep it at that distance. Don't come up close.
But if you sort of, if you were filmed with a time-lapse camera,
yeah,
it's like with a flower or a plant, then you can see that they are actually moving. They are alive.
Actually moving. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's that got to do with my morning routine?
Well, I'll tell you what it is. Because we are so much past the safe age for football playing, what that means is...
Hashtag knackers yard.
Hashtag clogging up the NHS. Yeah, because basically what it means is we play football for an hour each week. It's really good fun. And the rest of the week, we're in complete agony. I mean, I'm in total physical agony. The next day... It's unbelievable. It's like loads of little... It's like a fairy tale in the night, loads of little guys with nutcrackers have come and just cracked every bone in my body. I've just been nutcracked. I wake up feeling like I've just been absolutely swarmed with little nutcracking goblins. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's just extraordinary levels of pain. So I thought I'd get a massage. So I went to see this masseur. It's about 10 days ago.
Masseur. Is that a gender thing, masseuse and masseur?
Yes. I think so, but I don't know.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
But
it is,
okay. Masseur also means my sister in French.
But I don't know if they still... I don't know if they've just unified them now into one term, like other professions.
Which would be the what?
So maybe it's just masseur. I don't know.
Massage executive.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. So when I chose my massage person... online, I was looking around for a massage person. I had to be very careful to get the right kind of massage.
Yeah.
I wanted a sports...
This isn't going to be a tawdry story, is it, Henry?
Absolutely not. There's no tawdriness in this story whatsoever. In fact, the whole story was predicated on trying to avoid tawdriness happening. When you look for massages online, there's a sliding scale. It's quite hard to know, you know, what kind of massage you're going to get. Do you see what I'm talking about?
Yes, I don't think I've ever had a... Yeah, it's not...
Have you ever had a massage?
I think I've had one Turkish one in a Turkish bath in Turkey, which I think we've discussed before, which was extraordinary. I was a teenager at the time. They beat seven bells out of me and I felt amazing at the end of it.
that's one type of massage.
I got double teamed. There were two guys, two of the biggest men I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, yeah.
I was putty.
That's a kind of punishment massage, I'd say, isn't it? Which I think is sometimes really what one wants.
I think that's what you always want.
But I was also young enough to withstand it. I'm not sure I'd survive that kind of onslaught now. But I've never had any other kind of massage.
It's an absolutely brutalizing experience. Yeah. But it's a sort of consensual torture, isn't it? It's kind of like, if that was happening in a Stasi basement, it would be one of the worst things they'd ever done. But because it was on holiday and you'd chosen it and paid for it,
yeah,
it was like, bring this on.
Yeah. Probably a nice sort of sweet, fruity tea served to you at the end of it as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't get that in Stasi jails.
The Stasi never did that. It was English breakfast. Wasn't it? It was milk and two sugars, no choice. Or a little bit of honey.
Too milky as well. Too milky.
Too milky.
Yeah.
I actually once got massaged by a...
A Stasi agent.
They had to do something after 1989. Then after the wall came down, they had a lot of the same skill sets.
There's bloody loads of them.
They really just needed to get their head around the herbal tea. That was the only thing that really had to change.
Trying to navigate the new West.
And instead of getting information out of the client, it was just $59.99.
They can also do a photo shoot, but they had to take a photo using a tiny camera inside a briefcase from 100 meters away.
No, I once got massaged by a Thai ex-convict. A female Thai ex-convict.
Okay. Tell me more.
As part of her escape.
Quickly, don't move. She massaged me into a ladder. Bloody painful. It was actually really what I needed. It was a Thai ex-convicts. It was a massage parlor run by Thai ex-convicts in Thailand. Yeah, which I'm not going to lie, added a bit of a frisson.
Massage is so good they should be illegal. Was that the
nice
strap line?
And don't forget to tip them, or they'll shank you. Only joking. They might, though.
You'll be so relaxed, you'll slop yourself out with new ex-con massage.
But the way I saw it, it's better to be massaged by an ex-con than a pre-con.
Everyone's a pre-con, potentially.
Exactly. At least they've done the time. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and so basically, when you look for massages online, I genuinely wanted a massage. It was sports-related. But there's a kind of, like, it's quite hard to judge what kind of massage you're going to get. There's a kind of, let's put it sort of politely, there's a leisure end of the massage spectrum, and then there's a science end of the massage spectrum, isn't there? Mm-hmm.
And at that end, they're literally taking your molecules apart, firing them around the Large Hadron Collider, and then putting you back together on the other side.
Yeah, and giving you a cup of herbal tea. Yeah. And it's like, oh, I really bloody... Oh, I needed that. I really did need that.
I need to be fully disintegrated for a couple of hours. Don't normally make the time for it.
And I'll have a hand job now, please, thank you.
Oh, Henry!
Henry Packer.
And I'll have a hand job, please, now, Professor. That's getting cut out. That's not what this kind of podcast is about. We're not into that.
We have now, I don't know if we've mentioned on the podcast, maybe we haven't, that we now have an editor called Laura.
Mm. Yeah.
So it'll be down to her, really, whether that stays in or not. Laura, I would say to you, keep it in. Show people what Henry's really like.
As a warning.
As a warning to future generations. Yeah.
But I ended up going to this place. It was quite weird because it was like an office block building where it was just full of normal office workers.
Oh, dear.
So... people called Carol.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? it was just like normal. People had ties.
Is it just, so you got some accounts manager who's moonlighting in their lunch break?
Well, I don't know. But it was that was the environment. It was the Henderson brief. It was...
Did you have to lie down on the photocopier?
I kind of felt weird. It felt like that kind of thing might happen. And it felt like this didn't feel like the right kind of place. But anyway, so we got escorted through these corridors full of normal office workers talking about... strategy and PowerPoint displays. And then we turn, then we just open one of these office doors on an absolutely standard sort of drab office, quite 70s feeling office building. Open this door, go into an office space room, except there's chilled out massage music playing. It's really weird. So it's like, meow, meow, meow. And it had thick carpet and sort of very hot, incredibly hot. Like the room was really, really hot. it had a massage table in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So I started talking to this guy. I think he may have been called Robin. There was quite a weird moment where I had to write down my own details on the computer screen. Mm-hmm. He left the room. Then when he came back in, I was sitting in his chair at the computer.
And then you had to work there for 10 years.
And I was like, no, it's happened again. I've been trapped in an admin job for 10 years again by Robin again.
It's time for your appraisal, Henry.
And then 10 years later, my back's fucked from all the office work. I need to get myself a massage. It's happening again. It's Robin again.
That's how they get people.
And he won't invest in decent chairs, will he, Robin?
Nope. Absolutely won't. So it was quite scientific. I had to fill in a sort of health thing. There was quite a weird...
Was there a next of kin section?
I think there probably was, you know.
Yeah, out of left at that point.
I think there was next of kin.
Yeah, if that was deemed necessary. I'm out of there.
He did actually genuinely come... When he came back in, I ticked... He sort of made a weird yelp, sort of like... He did an inhalation of breath that was quite noticeable because I ticked yes to all of the health conditions rather than no.
Tertiary syphilis, tuberculosis,
but also pregnant.
You should not be having a child with that much syphilis. It's not ethical. Also, at this point, Nick Drake had come on the music system, which I thought was quite weird.
It doesn't seem very massagey, does it?
Yeah. It was a really weird environment I was in. Anyway, I was sat in his chair. He was then sat in the patient chair. I think we then managed to swap around and get it correct. But basically, he sort of said, what do you want? So, or what do we want out of this or something? And all I really wanted was, I play football once a week. It's incredibly painful. And I just want a nice massage, which feels nice, and then I can feel nicer a bit. That's really all I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But because he was more down the scientific end of the spectrum, which is where I'd had to go, he was, I think, a chiropractor. Mm-hmm. So what is that?
I don't really know the difference between that and an osteopath. I don't know.
It's definitely sort of snake oil adjacent, isn't it?
You don't... It's not that many times when you're consulting high-level consultant the NHS when there's Nick Drake playing in the room. Do you know what I mean? he had no aspersions on anyone, but he had quite long hair. I mean, that's fine, but it's adding up to a picture. We've got long hair. We've got Nick Drake.
Was he doing fire poi?
Is that when you fire pui lentils out of your ass? Because the answer is yes. What's fire poi?
What does that mean?
Fire poi. Poi is a thing where if you go to a music festival, there'll be people with long hair wearing baggy shorts who are kind of hippie-ish types swinging these things around their head.
Oh, right.
And they'll be on fire sometimes, and they're called fire poi.
Oh, yeah. I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he could 100%, you could see him doing that so smoothly. You could see him.
Yeah.
He basically looked like he'd just walked straight out of Latitude Festival, his vibe.
Could unicycle down a tightrope, for example?
Exactly, yeah. With a hot falafel wrap in one hand.
Yeah. Handmade wood-carved cargo shorts. Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he had that vibe down. But and that sort of charisma where I thought, yeah, he had cult leader energy, basically.
Okay. Mm.
So he kept on sort of telling me stuff about the body, and it was quite weird because also then there came a point where he was massaging me.
That's not weird when you go for a massage.
You're right. In any other context, though, Ben, it is. He just got off the hook because of that one fact. But then, he was massaging me. There was a lot of talking about legs, and he did this whole thing of like, how do you stand? I stood in front of him. He went, oh, yeah, you are, you know, you're...
No, you're fucked.
You're completely fucked. He said, you're off kilter or whatever. I'm on a diagonal.
You should have given up standing 25 years ago.
I should have given up standing. I'm past the standing years. I was like, this wouldn't be happening at a leisure massage. Do you know what I mean?
I don't think, though, that you were on the science end either. You described this as the trouble. Science end.
That's the trouble, you see. It's really hard to get the right kind because I thought I'd gone towards science, but I'd gone towards... Basically, he was like a guru, but I wasn't. I didn't want guru. So it was hard. It was hard for him to know how. The whole interaction was quite awkward because he was saying things like, "Yeah, you're on a diagonal." I didn't really care. I just don't care if I'm on a diagonal. I don't want to be realigned physically or mentally by you. I just want to have a nice 40 minutes. I just want a massage.
Like, I don't feel like medically anyone would ever say you're on a diagonal in a medical setting.
Yeah.
Okay.
They'd have another way of putting that, you know?
So at one point during the massage, he said, can I ask you about hydration? I thought, I'm on good ground here.
You're going to nail this, yeah, is what you thought, right?
I said, I drink 2 pints of water first thing in the morning. And he did actually say, Ben, this brings us back to the point, that he recommended doing it a bit more gradually because it tends to just, you're just pouring it straight in and it comes straight out again, sort of thing. So that's my update on the hydration that I'm giving you. But it's from a weirdly charismatic semi-guru.
Anyone could have told you that, right?
And also anyone could have told it, because that's just pouring physics, isn't it?
If you have a huge drink of water, then yeah, you're going to need a piss in a bit.
Yeah, yeah. Right?
I mean, a six-year-old can tell you that.
But not in such a charismatic way, Mike.
Yeah.
No, that's true. And they probably wouldn't have access to any Nick Drake.
They wouldn't be into Nick Drake yet.
And if they were, it would be an affectation, wouldn't it, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd hate to meet a six-year-old who's into Nick Drake.
Yeah,
I feel like that's not. anyway, so morning routine. Official three-bean-sided morning routine.
Yeah.
Is so far 2 pints of water. There's now a bit of a question mark over that due to the teachings of an office block based guru.
Yeah.
But I think currently, I think it still remains though. I think it's still official advice from our point of view.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm still following it. I think I'm downing it a little bit slower, but basically.
Good.
Still
good.
There.
Good. Yeah. Now I want to submit a new stage. And how do I put this delicately? It's to do with the journey that we're all on in terms of gut health. Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Digestive tract talk. Oh, yeah.
So for many years, I've been jealous, I think, of those people whose arse runs on clockwork.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
You know, like there's those people that can set their clock by their arse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Don't know if you two are like this, but.
Heavens no.
There we go. Okay. So similarly.
I mean, the arse, some would argue, is the first clock, isn't it? It is a clock.
Yeah. It is a clock.
It is a clock. It genuinely is in some ways.
And the clock on any major device is often the first bit that goes wrong. It's usually a...
I'll tell you what, if you think it's difficult with an oven clock, try resetting your arse clock, mate.
And yeah, so I've always been a little bit jealous of those people. You know, my arse is more like a kind of broken sundial where actually the sun is broken.
I have seen specialists to do with arse-related conditions.
Yeah.
And I saw one once who, basically, we were trying to establish which bit of the arse the problem was located on.
Yeah. Okay. Central vortex?
No, it was on the perimeter.
Okay.
It was a perimeter problem.
Yeah.
There'd been a perimeter breach.
Okay.
In a way.
Yeah.
And the signage had been clear, as far as I was concerned, which is, you know, beware.
Live ordnance.
This watchtower is compromised.
Yeah.
There's a card game going on in it when they should be paying attention.
Exactly.
Approaching enemies. Yeah.
What I will say is, when I was talking to the specialist, he was trying to describe to me where the problem was. It's basically 1 o'clock. He used the clock system. Yeah. The trouble with 1 o'clock is, which way around is the clock?
Yeah.
And we got into quite a difficult conversation about this. And he actually said, no, it is hard for people to picture the anus as a clock. because it's hard to know which way around it's facing.
Yeah. If you were mounting a clock on someone's ass, what would most people do? Would most people have that person on all fours with their ass pointed into the air?
Exactly.
Right. Or would they be dangling them by their feet from the ceiling and then mounting the clock?
You know? Yeah. It's tricky.
Yeah.
It's a tricky maneuver. Basically, it's very hard to have a sense of where up and down is. When you're in that zone, it's like what's up, what's down, what's left, what's right.
Yeah.
Because genuinely, with the way you perceive it, of what's the top of your bottom, what's the bottom of your bottom, is actually, I think, the wrong way around. In fact, right now, I can't even work it out. Yeah. Can you?
Well, this is the main test they do to work out who's suitable to be an astronaut. So they can cope with zero G and getting very, get the orientation right, in space.
So, yeah, Mike, if you've got too strong of an idea of which way is up when it comes to your ass,
yeah,
you can't go into
you're
space
out
because you're
yeah. So I'd be in. I'd actually
you
be in.
Would
be,
you'd get through to the second round, I'd say. Yeah,
he has exactly the right amount of ambiguity.
Yeah.
surrounding what is anal north.
Yeah, and obviously we would all hope that at a further testing stage you would be weeded out of any kind of
yeah,
NASA
yeah, yeah,
program.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But
yeah. Yeah.
There are checks and measures in place for that sort of thing.
I think it would be when they found out about my space panic.
Oh yeah, yeah. The space panic would be part of it. That would hopefully be in the forms.
I do have very, very, very bad space panic. I can't really.
You would imagine someone would spot early doors that you're medically diagonal.
Medically on the wonk. There are checks and balances in place.
You know, me and you, Henry, I see us as sort of brothers in arse to a degree.
Yeah.
It's something we've spoken about in the past.
It's been a hell of a journey, hasn't it?
You sent me some things in the post.
Oh, God.
You sent me a box of fruit and fibre regular digestive health intestinal transit tablets.
I see that they've... You've eaten any of them, have you?
That's a reassuringly long title, though, isn't it?
can you show them to the camera properly so we can see them?
There we go.
They're great little things.
Picture of a fig. Fig, I don't think it's got anything to do with that whatsoever, has it? Really?
That's yeah. From the sort of slightly alternate medical system world, isn't it, I guess?
Yeah, yeah. This isn't prescribed by anyone.
Though they do work well, though. It's basically, as I understand, it's like a field full of, like, plums compressed in something the size of a stock cube.
Yeah.
Well, basically, I didn't feel like I could tell you this at the time, Henry. I did do one, but it was like throwing a grenade into an aviary.
Okay. And it is a case of doing one, not taking one, right? You're doing one. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing you might do at a music festival.
But this your grenade aviary compressor, that doesn't sound like it's getting what the clockwork guys are experiencing, right? That doesn't sound to me like that's what.
No, far from it.
Can I say, Ben, I remember I sent you those as a gift.
Yeah. Thank you for that gift.
And I remember there was a period of a couple of weeks where I was like, oh, Ben hasn't said anything about the fibre cubes.
That's because I was on the floor submitting to what was going on.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm glad I know why you didn't reply.
So those weren't the answer, is what I'm saying.
No.
It was too much of a good thing.
It really was. But okay, I have found the answer, I think. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm putting into the morning routine, right?
Yeah.
Every morning now, I eat a handful of seeds.
Do you?
Seeds are the key, people.
What kind of seeds?
Mixed seeds from Lidl.
So you've gone full sparrow.
I've gone full sparrow, but...
Because you never see a sparrow with a hard turd. Do you? It's true.
It's working incredibly well. And I could now not just set my watch by my ass. You could set...
It's atomic clock levels, is it?
The atomic clock on a nuclear submarine.
Wow.
It's genuinely brilliant. You need to get into this scene.
Perhaps you'll be called to serve, Ben.
Does it matter that you have to eat it out of a little bird feeder? Or do you not mind that element of it?
Yeah, bird table, really.
It's a bird table. So, because that's part of the routine, isn't it?
Yeah.
Live like a sparrow, think like a sparrow, shit like a sparrow.
Do as the sparrow does, and thy shalt shit like the sparrow.
Yeah. Because thine has never seen a hardened stool emerge from a sparrow, hast thou? It's old, isn't it? It's old medicine, this. It's the old ways.
Has your back garden sparrow cam YouTube channel been successful, Ben?
That's what I was going to come on to, because I'm now making $55,000 a month.
Because you know who make even more money is young Swedish YouTubers who watch you.
They react. The reaction videos.
To what's happening.
To you leaping from the garden fence onto the bird table, a single bound in your sparrow costume.
Yeah. Just more and more, I've noticed it every week, the twitchy body language of a sparrow. Haven't you got that twitch?
Mm.
There's that, your head twitches back and forth.
Well, you never know when another sparrow is going to pop into the scene and give you a quick rodgering when you're trying to just, you know.
Yeah, exactly. When you're just trying to have your brekkie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, there's a squirrel issue. They are not near me. Yeah.
Tell me about your territorial warfare with the rival sparrows. How's that going?
I don't see the sparrows as rivals, Henry. I see them as brothers.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Trouble with magpies, your neck of the woods?
Yeah. Don't get me started on bloody magpies, mate.
Got to be the old seagull around your neck of the woods as well, I'd say.
Yeah.
Do you mind it when Chris Packham staples things onto his info antennae and stuff and like
GoPros and tracking rings?
Because you really are weighed down almost by the amount of... You've got a little satellite dish coming out of the back of your head, haven't you? You've got all kinds of stuff because there's a lot of...
I've been spring-watched. I've been totally spring-watched.
Yeah, you've been spring-watched hard, haven't
He's convinced you to journal, hasn't he, as well, which is a lot of work.
Yeah, and actually, I wanted to say to you guys... The podcast, Three Bean Salad, PLC, has now been subsumed by Packham's. We are basically part of Springwatch now.
Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah.
That was inevitable, I think, wasn't it? We knew that going in. There was always a chance of that happening.
I mean, Springwatch owns Netflix. It's got a majority shareholding in Apple. I mean, it's basically the United Biscuits of
banking.
Of banking, isn't it?
If you want the full regime, what it is...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Handful of mixed seeds from Lidl.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Handful of mixed nuts from Lidl.
Yeah. All gnawed at through a tiny cylindrical cage. Yeah.
Correct.
So just quickly, with seeds, we're talking lin, we're talking...
Sunflower.
Mm-hmm. Sunflower. Yeah.
Pumpkin.
Lovely.
Then, from a third pouch, I have probably a teaspoon of chia seeds.
Very, very zeitgeisty.
Then, the final bit... a teaspoon, or maybe 2 teaspoons, of, I think it's called milled, I can't remember what it's called.
But it's milled, whatever it is.
Is it flax? Is it flax seed?
It's milled flax seed.
Milled flax seed, yeah, okay.
Yeah. That is my regime. Hmm. I've been doing it now for about a month.
Yeah.
And you know, I would trust my arse now.
With the President of the United States life?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh, and I should say, when you start the regime, if you're anything like me, first week or so, intense gas.
But that settles you. Oh, so, but you ploughed on despite that.
You've got to get through it.
This is going to settle down.
Yeah. And now it's just like equilibrium.
Well.
And do you eat them like as they are, or is there sort of any milk or yogurt or anything kind of sort of...
So I will eat
quite
them.
Dry.
I will eat them kind of on top of some Weetabix.
Okay.
With milk.
Okay.
Maybe muesli. Yeah.
Crumbs.
So would you two be all right in putting that in the official Three Bean Salad morning routine?
Yeah, by all means. Yeah, I'll support that. I can't necessarily promise that I'm going to try it. I may try it, but certainly if people are following the Three Bean Salad health regimen, then they should absolutely include that as part of their lifestyle choice.
I've had phases of doing that kind of thing. Again, actually, I remember having a conversation with quite a sort of charismatic alternate figure. about a decade ago, it wasn't in a professional capacity. It was someone I knew, and I was in their kitchen with them, and they were telling me about their breakfast routine.
Yeah.
And they'd gone so far down this road of, it was like a sort of alchemist or something, the amount of powders and sort of potions and like seeds and kernels of things and little dry flowers and, you know, all of which was separately bought and sourced, which made his... But I think he was someone who believed... in a follower of the dictum of the perfect stool.
Of the Holy Grail.
So I think he was someone who was trying to create the perfect stool. This idea that...
And that'll drive a person mad.
That'll drive a person mad.
I tell you what, though, I think I'm close.
Joking, you're pretty close.
Mine now slip out into the night like a U-boat leaving Hamburg Harbour.
Just quiet, deadly.
Quiet, deadly. You barely notice it.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Well, I'm interested in that. I mean, I would try that. The trouble is that I'm too wedded to the continental breakfast, essentially, which is so opposite. It's so different. It's so non-scientific. The croissant, the toast, the jam.
The cured hams.
The coffee. It's very sort of...
It's wreaking havoc.
It's wreaking havoc. But also, but Ben, what you're eating is a kind of pre-civilization sort of food, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's
gatherer, isn't it?
It's gatherer. It's not even hunter. It's pre-hunter. Except, of course, for the Weetabix element.
They are hunted.
Yeah.
They are, of course, hunted brutally.
Anyway, there we go. It's officially in the routine. And maybe, Mike, in future you could add your own little...
I'll give that some thought. I'll begin some experimentation.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.